Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
You see, that's faith does a lot. It alleviates the fear. Now, you might be saying, yeah, but that's Hebrews 11, that's the Hall of Fame. I don't have that kind of faith. Maybe you don't. But I can tell you this. The Bible says that your faith grows. In fact, the Bible says your faith should grow. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10, he said, I desire to see the increase in your faith. He said virtually the same thing to Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 3. And he said, you need to be strengthened in what you're lacking in your faith. And in fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he said, let me commend you. I can see that your faith is growing. Faith grows. We need to have a growing faith. We need to understand or just believe who God is.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Sort of a lot like your fear. And none of it was necessary. There was not even a problem. And the reason there was not a problem, God had already done all the work. See, who prepared Esau to go meet Jacob? God. Then when Jacob started moving in the land, who sent the angels to meet with Jacob? God. And what did Jacob do? He does what we do. I'm really, oh, it's so scary. This is really fearful. I got to come up with a plan to alleviate my fears. And God had handled the whole thing all along. It wasn't like that in any sense of the word. It was extremely different. Now, the question would be, what do I mean when I say we have to have faith? What is it? See, I know faith is more than mental assent. It's more than just believing something. That's not faith, not biblical faith. In fact, in James 2, verse 19, it says, even the demons believe and tremble. Demons have faith. In that sense of just mental assent or belief. Ken Hughes says this. In the simplest terms, faith is belief plus trust. It is resting in the person of God and his word to us. Very wonderful word, resting. Whenever you become a Christian, you put your faith or your trust in what? In Christ. And what do? Nothing. You rest in Christ. Who's done all the work? Christ. I just rest in you, God. I don't have to do anything here. I just need to trust you. I just need to rest in you. He goes on and says, faith is an active practice built on belief. Faith is not ambiguous. It's not unsure. It's a concrete conviction. It's the present day confidence of a future reality. Faith is a solid, unshakable confidence in God built upon the assurance that he is faithful to his promises. Faith allows us to move forward when we're not sure where the destination is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's really hard for us because you and I live by sight. You see, I can see Esau coming. I know what he's got, 400 guys with him. Don't tell me not to be afraid. I'm really afraid. You see, I had a doctor hold up the x-ray. I need to be afraid. You see, I got to be afraid. These are terrible circumstances. That's the way we react. You know, a very favorite verse of almost all of us is Proverbs 3, where Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then he says, but lean not on what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, he says, he'll direct your path. That's faith in action. That's faith. Now, we love the verse, but we can't utilize it when we're full of fear. Mark Batterson said this. He said, faith is not logical, but it's also not illogical. He said, faith is theological. It adds God to the equation. I just trust God. Faith always acts in Scripture. David Jeremiah looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and said, look at the way faith works. He said, faith builds an ark when it's never rained before. Faith begins a journey obediently, despite not knowing where it's going. Faith dwells in the tents of a foreign country. Faith looks for a city whose builder and maker is God. Faith gives a mother strength to bear a child when she's long past childbearing age. Faith is being willing to sacrifice one's own son in obedience. Faith believes in the resurrection. Faith promises not to leave Joseph's bones in Egypt. Faith refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Faith chooses to suffer affliction with the children of God. He says, faith esteems the reproach of Christ as greater than the treasures of Egypt. Faith, he said, forsakes Egypt for the promised land. Faith passes through the Red Sea on the dry land. Faith walks around the walls of Jericho until they collapse. Faith obtains promises, stops the mouth of lions, quenches the violence of fire, escapes the edge of the sword, turns to fight the enemies of God. Faith receives the dead back to life, and faith receives the promise. He said, that's what faith does a lot. It alleviates the fear. Now, you might be saying, yeah, but that's Hebrews 11. That's the Hall of Fame. I don't have that kind of faith. Maybe you don't. But I can tell you this. The Bible says that your faith grows. In fact, the Bible says your faith should grow. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10, he said, I desire to see the increase in your faith. He said virtually the same thing to Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 3. And he said, you need to be strengthened in what you're lacking in your faith. And in fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he said, let me commend you. I can see that your faith is growing. Faith grows. We need to have a growing faith. We need to understand or just believe who God is. Now, I want to illustrate this again, this time from the New Testament. I want to go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And we're introduced to a man named Jairus. And I think all of us can identify with him here. Can you imagine anything in your life worse than watching or being there when your child dies? For a parent, I think it's the worst possible thing they can ever face. The child's dying. That's what Jairus is facing. He has a child, and the child's going to die. And so consequently, because of that, he ends up encountering Jesus Christ. And it says here, and they were in Capernaum at this time, and as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. There's a huge crowd of people here. And it says, and there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official in the synagogue. Now understand, he's a Jewish insider. He's an official in the synagogue. And by this time in Christ's ministry, by the way, the leaders of the Jewish people hated him, and they were already plotting to murder him. They wanted him dead. Jairus knows that. But Jairus' little girl's dying. This is no time for politics. Jairus doesn't care about that at all. I'm going to go to him. And he does. He goes to him. His heart is broken. It says, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. Just imagine what that was like. This official came to Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. We know from Mark 5, which is a parallel to this, Jairus says this to Jesus, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. Who wouldn't do that as a parent? I mean, who wouldn't do that? We'd do anything we could. If this man can possibly help at all, he is just fully distraught as a person can be. I often think, what are the questions that Jairus has in his mind before he approaches Christ? I think there are three. One, can he do this? Two, does he care? And three, will he come? J- Jairus doesn't know the answers, though, but those are the questions that have to be going on in his head. Can he do this? Does he care? Will he come? Now, we know that it says here that as he went, the crowds were pressing against them. Jesus went with them. Jesus said, sure, I'll go with you. Now, that had to be something. He knows a couple things. He doesn't know if he can yet, but he knows this. He does care, and he will come. He does care, and he will come. He's coming with me. All the crowds pressing. Now, you can imagine Jairus. He knows the daughter is very close to death. He's probably wanting to get Jesus there as soon as he can. But something happens. It says, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him, and she touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, who's the one that touched me? Now just imagine a whole crowd, hundreds of people all pressing. Jesus stops, who touched me? Now the disciples, you could tell, they're like, what? If we have to answer this, I didn't see who did it. Who touched me? Yeah. Now if you're Jairus, what are you thinking? I don't care. I don't care who touched you at all. Let's just keep moving here. Jesus doesn't want to move. He wants to stop. Jesus says, who is it to touch me? And while they were all denying it, what me? It says, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding in and pressing in on you. How would anyone know who touched you? Jesus says, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. Now, by the way, Jesus knew who touched them. He's Jesus. And when a woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had become immediately healed. It was me. Now watch what Jesus does. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. It's a wonderful little story, except that if you're Jairus, we hate delays. We hate delays. Something's so pressing, we need it now. We need something fixed now, right now. Now, Lord, and notice Jesus is in no hurry. Well, it goes from bad to worse. While I was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official. I'm guessing in that big crowd might have gone up and touched Jairus on the shoulder. Said, your daughter's died. Do not trouble the rabbi anymore. His day goes from bad to worse. This has to be the worst moment in his life. You know that. Doctor walks out, you're in a waiting room and says, your child died. There's nothing I could do. I just couldn't imagine how. Wow. Cherish my thought. I thought I had a hope. Now I don't. Jesus heard this, and Jesus wants to talk. Jesus heard what was said, and notice what Jesus says. Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. She'll be made well. Do not be afraid, only believe. By the way, what's that mean? It's your choice. This is the choice you and I have to make all the time. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Only believe. It's up to you. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Just believe. I think if I'm Jairus, believe? Believe what? My little girl's dead. What do you want me to believe? He had no idea what was absolutely going to come next. But you and I do. You see, you and I do. The reason this story is in the scriptures, 2,000 years later, people like us who have fearful struggles can believe that he can help, that he does care, and he will come. We can believe that. That's the point. So people like us can believe. And the story changes. It says then, and when he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, James, and John, and the girl's father and mother. No one else is going in. He wants Peter and James and John to see this. Why? They have weak faith like us. They have weak faith. So I want you to see this. And they were all weeping and lamenting over it. If he was affluent enough and he's a synagogue official, he probably was. He had professional mourners there. People who would wail and cry for you whenever someone died in a Jewish house. They were usually there like hospice care near the end so they could start immediately. They were all weeping and lamenting her, and he said, stop weeping. She's not died. She's just asleep. It says, and they began laughing at him. The Greek word means mocking. Look, we're experts on this. I know dead when I see dead. That body's cold, there's no breathing, there's no pulse. She's dead. See, they laughed at him. They went from mourning to laughing. But now they're laughing at Jesus. Wow. He, however, took her by the hand, and he called and he said, child, arise. That's it. There wasn't any big moves. There wasn't any thunder and lightning clapping. He said, child, arise. Do you realize how easy this was for Jesus? This is infinitely easy. This is like asking Albert Einstein, can you add 2 + 2? It's like having Beethoven, could you play chopsticks on the piano for me? This is Jesus. Child, arise. That's all there is here. Just child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for to give her something to eat. And her parents were amazed. No kidding. Her parents were amazed. But he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Wow. You see, what's going on here? Jesus saying, are you trusting me? He said, you have faith in me. Now, in this case, by the way, did Jesus raise everyone who died in Judah from the dead? No, it's a very rare thing. And he always has his own godly reasons for what he does. But the point is, he can do anything. Nothing ever is going to happen that doesn't go through him. Ever. That's the way this operates. That's the way this works. He does. He can do it. He does care. And he does come. That's a very important thing. He comes. He comes as a baby born in Bethlehem. Comes as a young man, as the son of a carpenter in Nazareth. He comes as the Messiah and Savior of Israel. And now he's going to come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in every one of those cases, the context is, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid of the circumstances of your life. See, it always doesn't work in a resurrection, but it always works. I had just found this that many of you are aware that Jim Kelly, the Hall of Fame quarterback from the Buffalo Bills, has had multiple cancers, jaws and things like that, been through it all and went into remission not too long ago, but really has been through it and had to have jaw surgery made so that he could get dentures put back into his mouth. And he's had an amazing testimony for Christ. Well, they just found out that he has a cyst now in his spinal cord. And this comes from his wife. She sends out an Instagram, her name's Jill, and explained that a cyst is pressing against the Hall of Fame quarterback's spinal cord. It needs to be removed. She said, maybe you're thinking, what I'm thinking. Not another surgery. She continued, I know, another mountain to climb, but also another opportunity to trust God and walk by faith. Not fear here. Isn't it what his daughter wrote? She said, surgery after surgery, battle after battle. When I can't fathom how my dad continues to endure, I'm reminded of where his strength comes from. God. The one who is above all and in all. The one who works all things together for good. The one who fights every battle. My dad will be having back surgery this morning. Please pray for us. And be encouraged in your own battle, because it's the Lord who fights for you. And then she quotes Exodus 14:14. If you look it up, Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight while you remain silent. Jim Kelly and his family believe this. You see, they believe this. He's not living in fear. He's living in faith. He's made that choice. That's the way it works for him. You see, it's one thing to have fear be a visitor in your life. It's another thing when you make it a resident. It destroys your life. It distorts your life. You end up trying to plan the circumstances, but they never work out. You lose all spiritual perspective, just like Jacob. But we don't have to live by fear. We can live by faith. Even in the most fearful circumstances, that's what the Bible says. You know the Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, what David wrote. He said, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. How many of you are afraid of dying? Be honest. You see what I mean? He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's the next words? I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always going to be with you. He always comes. You see how this works? He can do anything he wants. He cares about you greatly. And he always comes. Your choice is yours. Fear or faith? Let's pray. Father, this is such a struggle for us. There are so many hazards in this world. There are so many consequences to sin. There's so much pain and suffering that potentially can happen to any of us. And it causes us a tremendous amount of fear. May we learn from these two stories that the choice is ours. We can fear. Or we can evidence faith. Father, I pray that we understand how important this is to us. You've told us that all things work together for our good, even when we don't understand. You've told us that even in the midst of deep suffering, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You've told us that everything that happens to us can be for your glory and our good. Father, we have to believe it. And when we do believe it, fear is cast out. That's what my prayer is for each and every one of us, that we are people of faith instead of fear. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.